Hello out there. Welcome to your next mission video podcast. I hope you were able to catch last week's show with America's resilient coach, Kristen Christie. She turned personal tragedy into a mission to help others. Today, we're celebrating Women's History Month with Kristen's help, highlighting other women who have made a difference, including some who inspired her. Please stay tuned.
Welcome to Your Next Mission Video Podcast, where we tell the stories of those who have served in the past and those who are serving today. From transition to financial wellness, VA benefits to mental health, we cover issues facing veterans, active military, and their families. Now here's your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley.
Hello out there, warriors past and present, and your families, and thank you for your service to our great country. Before we get started, I personally want to thank our presenting sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, whose members are the mission, and Purdue Global, where you can start your comeback with additional sponsorship from Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental and Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision and USAA. Together, they make your next mission happen. They love our veterans and families, and if you listen to the show before, I say every week, we love them too. Today, we're bringing you a conclusion of a two-part series commemorating the encouraging the study and observance and celebration of Women's History Month and the vital role of women in America's history. I'm honored to reintroduce America's resilient expert, Kristen Christie. For those who missed last week's episode with Kristen, she was the 2018 U.S. Air Force Spouse of the Year, I'm patting you on the back right now, 2019 Top Women Military Influencer, I've never influenced anybody, and is currently the co-founder of the National Veterans Vocational Village. Thanks for joining us again this week, Kristen.
Thank you for having me again. I appreciate it.
Well, I tell you what, you were so motivating last week. I'm glad you come back, and I'm glad you just try to leave town and not come back to us again, but I appreciate you coming back with us. Please tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to be America's resilience coach.
Yeah, I became America's resilience coach through the University of Hard Knocks, really. There's a saying, life is a tough teacher. We get the test first and then we learn the lesson. And the lessons I learned after my first husband took his life after deployment to Iraq and both of our children, both of our boys attempted suicide. My oldest son struggling with mental illness and his disappearance at September 20th of 2015, I have found my purpose to walk alongside people, to make changes for the better, and to really be that light for someone. We just don't know what our battle buddy next to us is going through on this emotional battlefield called life. And I just want to be their emotional support human if I can.
Yeah. I tell you, just from talking to you last week and talking to you right now, you're so motivating. I mean, you come across... Mm-hmm. You care, you want to help people, you want to do all you can to make a difference in the lives of everybody around you, everybody you reach out to. And I certainly appreciate that. And there needs to be more people like you, that's for doggone sure.
Thanks.
We talked about it last week, your resilience training and your work with suicide prevention, particularly in the veteran community, is making a huge difference in the lives of people all over the country. Today, I want to talk about some of the other women with military backgrounds, you made a significant difference in the history of our country. Could you tell us about someone who that maybe influenced you?
Besides my mother, who was an amazing military spouse for 32 years, yeah. Dottie Anderson. She was my role model to be a military spouse, but. One that really comes to mind, I had the good fortune to have a chance to meet her, was Julie Moore. General Hal and Julie Moore made such an impact, not just in the Army And when I had a chance to meet her, it was when we were at Army War College. We were stationed there, and her son was in my husband's seminar. So we had the opportunity to really meet her, and it was amazing how she changed policy when Vietnam was going on. If there was a casualty overseas, they would give a telegram to a taxi driver to deliver it to the next of kin. And I remember her telling the story about all of a sudden she sees a taxi pull up while her husband's deployed, pull up to the front of their house. The taxi driver comes out. She is hiding behind the curtains. She doesn't want to answer the door. She does. And it ends up the taxi driver was asking her where to find this address.
Oh, no. Oh, my goodness.
And that's when she realized, you know, she found out the taxi drivers did not want to notify, be the, you know, the person to notify. So ultimately, Julie Moore was the one that changed policy to where typically two officers and a chaplain are the ones to notify next of kin. It's not by a taxi driver carrying a telegram. And that, I go back to 16 years ago when we were notified, I put myself in those women's shoes, those family members' shoes back then. I just think the world of Julie Moore and her husband. You know, Fort Moore, formerly Fort Benning in Georgia, is the only military base named after a military couple. Fort Moore is named after General Hal and Julie Moore.
Wow.
She made a difference. She made a difference.
Yeah. You know, I met Hal Moore years ago up at Fort Knox. At the time, it was Fort Knox. I'm not sure what they're calling it now. But he's quite a fella. Did you have an old college friend who also achieved, you know, a first in the military, women in the military? Who's your old college
friend? Yeah. I went to the University of Texas in Austin, Hook'em Horn, just, yeah, you know, a plug there. and I needed to find my community. And so I hung around the ROTC building, specifically Air Force, because I understood the acronyms and spoke the same language, you know, and that was important. But one of our classmates was Jeannie Flynn, who ended up becoming the first female fighter pilot in the Air Force. She just retired a few months ago. I was honored to go to her retirement. Major General Jeannie Levitt. And she broke down so many barriers. It was incredible. And she tells the story about how she finished on top of her class in pilot training. And when she had a chance to stand up to tell them what she wanted, she said the F-15, despite her instructor saying, please don't, it's going to ruin your career. Women are not flying in combat. But she wanted it on record. And so she put it on record. They said, sorry, you can't do it. What's your second choice? And she asked for her second choice, but she never had a chance to fly that second choice. She got her first choice. And she was the first female fighter pilot in the Air Force. And so very proud. I broke so many other barriers. First woman wing commander of a fighter wing. And the humblest person you will ever meet.
Yeah. You know, years ago, I sat on a board at Training and Doctor Command. I'd been out of the Army, I think, 10 years, and it was talking about bringing women back into combat arms within the Army at the time. And so they asked me to come in and sit on the board, and I said, hey, look, once they start talking, I said, hey, look, I think the way to, women are just as good as men in everything. And quite frankly, in some things, a lot better. Don't change the standard. Open the MOSs up, open your skills up, and let them come in. If they can make it, go ahead and let them do it. So I think it just takes educating our country about, you know, what's right or wrong. And I think it's an open plate, you know, do what you can do. And if you can be better at something, go ahead and do it. And I don't think it's a man or a woman. I think, you know, treat everybody the same. That's the way I've lived my life all the way through.
Yeah, don't make gender you know, an option necessarily. Give them the opportunity. Give everyone the opportunity if they can. And if they don't cut the mustard, if you will, then there's something else out there for them. Last week I talked about the acronym for NO, next opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely.
Find their next opportunity. We all have skills, and sometimes we just have to find where those skills fit into our national security and then into our military.
Well, I think the other thing is you can't play when it comes to security in the military.
Right.
You have to have the best. I mean, you can't just say, I want you to be in there because who you are or whatever. No. You have to know exactly what your mission is. Let's be honest about one thing, is that you pay me to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And so there's no second best in my job, in the jobs of professions, whether Army, Air Force, Navy, Marine Corps, Space Force, all of them. You have to be the best in what you're doing.
I am so glad you mentioned Space Force.
Well, I kept forgetting for a long time there. Usually I don't forget about it, but I got out of the Army about 20 years ago. And we're going to something here in a minute, but I think for a long time, it goes back to communications, about the fact that we didn't ask women what they wanted to do. We just assume things. Women don't want to do this. They want to do this, want to be a secretary. Well, not all women want to be a secretary. I got to tell you a quick story. When I was in Germany, I was visiting an aviation unit down there, and they had a young female that was a mechanic in there. And I says, hey, is she a pretty good soldier? And the guy said, oh, yeah, she's a really good soldier. And I said, well, yeah, why do you sort of answer that question real quick? He says, well, she's beat up everybody in the platoon. I said, you're joking. He said, no. I said, well, she beat you up? He says, no, that's only because I'm the platoon sergeant. Hey, look here, I want to reach back just a little deeper into the past to highlight a couple of other remarkable women, because there's been a lot of women that did a great job. But first, we need to take a break. So stay right there. We'll be right back. This is your Next Mission Video Podcast with me, your host, Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major in the Army. If you're enjoying this discussion, please like us, click on that subscribe button below, and be sure to click on the bell to receive notifications of all of our upcoming video podcasts. I'll be right back after word from our presenting sponsors.
You're watching Your Next Mission Video Podcast, proudly presented by Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. And Purdue Global. You're ready for a comeback, and with Purdue Global, you can do more than take classes. You can take charge of your story, of your career, of your life. Earn a degree you can be proud of and get an education employers respect. Start your comeback at PurdueGlobal.edu. Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're talking with Kristen Christie, America's resilience coach and co-founder of the National Veterans Vocational Village. Kristen, before the break, you told us about a couple of women who have helped inspire you as you continue to fight for suicide prevention. Let's go back a little earlier in history. I didn't know this till the other day, out of 3,500 people who received the Medal of Honor, only one was a woman. Can you tell us a little bit about her?
Yeah, Dr. Mary Walker, back in the 1800s, she was breaking barriers as it was before she received the Medal of Honor. But she was a doctor. She was a feminist. She was breaking down barriers wherever they could for the good of the country. She could not join the military, so she volunteered, and she received the Medal of Honor. Unfortunately, that was rescinded because she was never a member of the military. And it took 60 years until President Jimmy Carter reinstated her as a Medal of Honor recipient. But just amazing. She didn't take no for an answer. No meant next opportunity, yeah. Right? None of these women that we're talking about took no for an answer. They knew what they wanted. They knew what was best for them, for their families, for their communities, for the country. And they were going to do what it took.
Yeah. You know, when I worked in the Pentagon, you know what they used to talk about? No was just the start of the conversation. So that's how it always started. You know, you can find women have broken barriers and changed lives throughout history, from Clara Barton, the founder of Red Cross, to Harriet Tubman, who rescued slaves, including her own family, through the Underground Railroad. How much harder do you think it's been for, women like them to break barriers, and have they that kind of impact they might have been for men?
Yeah, I think it's still hard for some I think it gets down to mindset. You know, back then when we're talking Clara Barton and Harriet Tubman and Dr. Walker, it was that mindset. It was educating the men on what women could do. And I think we're finding it a lot easier now. And I will tell you, even talking with Jeannie Leavitt, she doesn't really want to be known as the first female fighter pilot. She wants to be known as a really good fighter pilot. to not have gender involved in that. But we've seen so many strides in all aspects of our community, but especially in the military and the veteran community too.
Yeah. I knew General Powell, and first time I met General Powell, I was a sergeant first class. And I'll never forget, he told a story one time up there that he was in West Point, and they talked about, he come back, and a friend of his was real upset about the fact that he got a command, and he was a minority and got a command. He said the only reason he got the command was because he was a minority. And the guy was mad. He said, let's go down there and tell him why you got this command and all that stuff. And General Powell said something that was really smart. He says, I'm not going to go down there and say anything to him. I'm going to show him. I'm going to show him why I was selected. So I think that's the same thing women are doing. They're going to show us what they can do. And I think they've been showing us for a long time. That's for doggone sure. Hey, I want to go ahead.
And action creates traction.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Regardless of gender.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the action. I love what General Powell had said to you. Yeah. The story. Truly, let's show them.
Yeah, let's show them. That's the way to do it. I want to talk about how women's role in society has changed throughout the years, but we need to take a quick break. So another break. So hold that thought again. We'll be right back. Now, here's a word from two more of the organizations that make this show possible.
You're watching Your Next Mission video podcast, brought to you in part by Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision.
Part of transitioning out is that dental and vision insurance breaks off from your medical insurance.
Vision and dental is very important to be able to enjoy your retirement.
Blue Cross Blue Shield makes a transition so much easier.
And USAA.
A promise is a trust not to be broken. Whether spoken with an oath or sealed with a pinky. And after 100 years, we're still taking care of the military community and their families. That's our mission, always.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're blessed to be here today with Kristen Christie, America's Resilience Coach and co-founder of the National Veterans Vocational Village, who is helping us celebrate Women's History Month. Remember, this is your show. Tell us about your transition. Tell us what topics you'd like it to cover. You can call or text me at 844-424-1134. Send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org, and I'll actually reach back out to you. Kristen, we're heading into our final segment with you today, and I hope you enjoyed it just as much as I have, really, for the past 2 weeks, and we've had a great discussion. I was going to ask you how women's role in society has changed throughout the years, but that's really a wide topic for all of us to talk about. Let's narrow it down just a little bit. What is the one way you think women's role in society has changed the most?
I think that it's educating the public that women can do anything they put their minds to it, regardless of the barriers that are up, and they make a real difference. You know, outside the military, I'm thinking of Caitlin Clark, who just surpassed the NCAA,
Just the Peaks record, didn't he? That's right. Absolutely.
You know, it's not because she's a woman, it's because she's a kick-ass basketball player.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's been amazing to see just how everyone can make a difference. And once they put their mind to it, again, action creates traction. Again, action creates traction. And we come together as a community. Not a single person we have talked about today, Sergeant Major, did it on their own.
No. Nobody.
They had a community alongside of them.
Yeah. Nobody. I always tell everybody, nobody is successful by themselves. You have to have other people around you that that help you, and it's the team. It's the team that gets things done. Because I guarantee you, the Army, you know, I work with a lot of people in the military, but I realized real quick that you're just one person. But if you get a team of 10, 20, 30, 50, 100, a million, you can certainly make a difference. Yeah.
Yep.
What about the military, military spouses? What are the biggest changes you see there?
Specifically for military spouses, we get a seat at the table now. We are making a difference. I think of the housing issue that military installations are dealing with now. It was military spouses that brought that to the forefront and said, listen, we've got a problem. Our childcare issue, our military spouse employment, those are all issues being resolved, truly resolved by military spouses. And we are asked to be at the table, the DOD level, at the installation level, at our community level. It's one of those situations where when we deal with something, we are going to use the lessons that we've learned to help other people. And it's been fantastic to, as a military spouse, to have that credibility, if you will, in that arena. And then in the military, you know, Chief Master Sergeant of the Air Force, Joanne Bass, just retired, and she made such a difference for our Air Force and for the Department of the Air Force, working in close hand with the Chief Master Sergeant of the Space Force as well. Women are making a difference, even in our uniforms for our military and wearing ponytails. And helping with the recruiting issue as well.
Yeah, I certainly will never wear a ponytail because I don't have much hair left anyway. So what advice would you give a young woman who's trying to, you know, find her way or path in life? What advice would you give a young woman for that?
You have your own identity. Find out what that identity is and find out what sets your soul on fire and go for it. More importantly, if you don't know what that exactly looks like, get a mentor. Get especially a female mentor, I think is very important. And for those of us who are, shall I say, seasoned.
No, don't say that.
I look for young women I can come alongside and help them. Whether it's career-wise, community-wise, whether it's specifically in loss. As America's Resilience Coach, I really coach through loss of identity, loss of relationship, loss, you know, whatever kind of loss it is, not just by suicide. But it really is empowering to me when I can help empower a young woman coming up.
You know, adults in this country, we should be coaching and teaching and developing young adults all the time. And I think sometimes we miss that. We want them to be our friends. I want them to be my friend too, but it's about coaching and teaching for the 10 years, 20 years, 40 years, 50 years down the road about making this a better place or better society for all of us. And I think sometimes we miss the bullet on that. I think sometimes we just don't do enough of that. And we got to find ways to talk to people too. I mean, there's a lot of stuff on social media, and I've heard a lot of comments about don't get on social media, don't do this or don't do that because people will get your information. I would tell you, you have to go where people are to communicate, to talk to them, to listen to what they're saying. If you don't hear what they're going or what they're doing, you'll never figure out what the issues are. So that's really what mature adults are supposed to be doing here in life, that's for sure. This has been a great discussion, but before we go, I want to quickly revisit your work as a resilience coach and the work you're towards suicide prevention. What do you want the people to know about, you know, what you're doing? What do you want people or the audience to know about what you're doing?
Yeah, I have found my purpose and my passion through tragedy. That post-traumatic stress became post-traumatic strength for me. And I try and use that for good. I travel all over the world, mainly to Air Force and Space Force bases, talking about suicide prevention, trying to get into the other services. So if you have any in there, sir, I would appreciate that. But it's just, we've got to talk about it. We've got to talk about things that we've gone through in life because we need to know that we aren't the only ones, and other people need to know that they aren't alone, that they can resonate with our story, and that there's truly healing in that. And then to be still and listen. Listen is such a powerful tool. You do not have to say anything. Just sit with them and listen.
Yeah, you're so spot on there. I guess I probably told a lot of things. When I come back out of war, I think I was probably depressed for 10 years, 11 years or whatever. And I struggle a little bit. And even today, sometimes you're talking to somebody about the military. A lot of people have changed the subject. They want to talk about something else. But it's tough for veterans and family members. I just can't say veterans. I mean, all of them are part of a, you know, just if you're a spouse in the military, you're part of the service. You know, you're part of, you're serving too, just in a different capacity. It's important for us. And I can't agree with you more when you talk about, communicating and listening and sit down and just like we talked before last week, giving a hug, how are you doing today, a high five, whatever you want to do. But being there is really the key to success. Be approachable. There's too many people in life that are just not approachable. And young adults know who's not approachable. They don't want to talk to you because what you believe or what you're doing or whatever. And the other thing I tell people too is lead by example. Show people what you mean. Don't just talk about it, do it. Mm-hmm. I said, when I was in the military, I used to get up every morning and do PT at 6 o'clock in the morning. People say, you don't have to do that. You're an older guy now. You don't. No. I may be a little bit older. Does that mean I don't have to go to war? And the answer is no, I have to go too. The job that I'm going to do in war is a lot different, but I want to make sure if I have to go, I'm ready. How can somebody get, go ahead.
That is the testament of a true leader. A supervisor or manager says go, a leader says let's go.
Yeah, that's right.
And you said let's go.
Yeah.
So thank you for your leadership.
Well, I'd always say let's go because they wouldn't go if I didn't go with them anyway. Yeah, one more story, and I'll be quiet. These guys will be yelling at me. I used to go down the motor pool and tell, you know, when I was a tanker, and I'd tell people what to do, and then I'd go and I'd start working on my vehicle. And the guy said, "What are you doing? You don't have to do that." Yes, I do. When we go to war, I'm not going to sit back and watch these guys fight. I actually have a vehicle, and I have to fight too, so I can't cut corners. That's for sure. How can somebody get in touch with you if they want to reach out to you? Is there a website, phone number, or something?
Yeah, my website is KristenChristieCares.com. I'm on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook.
Me too.
All of them, except TikTok. I'm not on TikTok. My husband is still in the Air Force, so, you know, working on that. Also my phone number. I have a Google number. It's on 24/7. Yeah. I'm available at 3 a.m. 620-304-HOPE-4673. I would love to be a resource for anyone who needs someone who can listen.
Yeah. I tell people all the time, you can help one person, you've made a difference. Any final thoughts?
It's one person, one family, one community,
few. Yeah. You're going to make me think of something. We had a young man that emailed me here probably 6 months ago or something like that, and said, by listening to our show, and of course his spouse, he was thinking about suicide. Taking his life by suicide, and he said because of the show, he's in a better place now, so I feel good about that. If I can help one person or a couple people or a spouse or whatever, that's I'm doing what God asked me to do on this earth. Any final thoughts? Anything that you want to share with the audience?
You, sir, gave them your email and your phone number as well.
Absolutely.
And you wouldn't do that unless you wanted people to reach out to you. You are a resource. This program is a resource. Reach out to resources. I want to encourage your listeners and your audience to text you. You may get a lot of texts. Sorry ahead of time, but I'm not sorry.
Yeah.
Right. We really mean it when we say we are here for you.
Yeah.
Don't do life alone.
Yeah. It's a lonely pace by yourself. It's just lonely and it's just a tough place for anybody. And there's a lot of people. I'm not foolish enough to think there's not a whole lot of people that struggle, but we got to do something, and we do something by making changes, by helping each other out. Thank you so much for joining us and sharing your own story and help us celebrate Women's History Month. That's a big deal, and we certainly appreciate all that you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you for your gift of your time today. I truly appreciate it.
Well, God bless you for making a difference.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Kristen Christie for being with us today. I'm Jack Dilley, 12th Sergeant Major in the Army. You've been watching Your Next Mission video podcast. Thank you for joining us. And log on to our website at yournextmission.org and leave me a review. While you're there, you can visit our nonprofit and corporate partners who have jobs and services that are available that can assist you in your transition from the military. And we just added a new job board in partnership with Recruit Military, where you can search for a job that's really the perfect fit for you. Check out this video on our website to learn how to fine-tune your search. You can also create your own individual profile, scan the QR code on the screen or the QR code on the website to create your profile. All information collected is to be shared with no one. We want to assist you any way we can. You can also follow me on my personal social media pages, Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, and Rumble. And if you like what we're doing with Your Next Mission, click on that subscribe button below. And don't forget to click on the bell too to receive notifications about all our upcoming video podcasts. Don't forget, we want to hear from you. Please leave me a message, send me a text at 844-424-1134, or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. Thanks again to Kristen Christie for joining us today and last week also. And when I was listening to Kristen talk today, I was thinking about me. I was thinking about my spouse. I've been married, 52 years. And anybody that's out there knows exactly what women can do and what they've done for our country. Whether or not it's whatever, in the military or a CEO of a corporation or doing whatever. But open your eyes. Listen to what they're doing. Support the females or the women or the spouses or the leaders in our country because they're great leaders. So today we talked about the right subject. It's about our women in our country. thank you so much for listening. Again, thanks for watching. Thanks to Newmont Studios and, of course, our sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue Global, Blue Cross Blue Shield, FEP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield, FEP Vision, and USAA. We appreciate all you do for our military. And as always, see you on the high ground. Hooah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.